Well, good morning again. It's good to be here, and I have had a very recurring conversation this week about how does it feel to be almost leaving and all that sort of stuff, and I think bittersweet is what has kind of summed it up, because it's the end of a thing for me, like another thing that I have to do in my training, but it's also having got to know you guys. It's hard going. Revelation so far, that's what we've been journeying through, and there'll be two more weeks of it. And so in the first weeks, we introduced it, and we looked at the style and lots of language being imaginative. I think this shirt, actually, I was trying to be loud and stuff. Today, it's kind of like, well, today's about being alive, so hey. And we had, that was such a good week, where we had the chapter there on how Jesus is God. And I'm trying to go. Oh, that is the end. There we go. I introduced this little picture of like, this was a search of worship. I was just wondering, like, is that how, kind of what, I mean, Bevan was, he had those feels about Revelation. Have we had these feels about Revelation? Kind of? Not really a whole lot of. Well, there's more repentance and stuff coming today, so I don't know if that's what that is. But we've checked through four churches so far. Ephesus, who weren't acting with the love that they had at first. Smyrna, these are a church that contrasted their city, and we talked about how TBC contrasts. Titirangi. Pergamum, where it was about compromise, this giving our way is what we're aiming for, as opposed to kind of giving way to things and letting things in. And then last week we were in Thyatira, where we looked at kind of the hidden behavior, the behind closed door stuff that is relevant to our faith. And we carry on. Today into Sardis in chapter 3. But metanoitato, let me pray before I continue. Loving Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, help us to have an ear to listen and an eye to see what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. So reading from chapter 3. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. This week, I was going through different things, and it was actually something I saw on the project. So you might have seen it, but this research came out of Australia about being startled awake by your alarm. Like if you've got one of those kind of like rah, 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 alarms or whatever, you know, some of us still have those ones, maybe not. This research anyway, it talked about how your performance was degraded for periods up to 4 hours if you woke up to like a really sharp, startling alarm. And the study talked about this. I thought this was fascinating. The study talked about the sleep inertia as a transitional state between sleep and being awake, and it can be marked by impaired performance or reduced vigilance and a desire to return to sleep. So if any of you woke up from 7, you're in trouble to a erupt alarm because you're still feeling all this possibly. So actually wake up, but we'll get to that point soon. But so this more intensely you interrupt your sleep, the more you feel groggy, confused, clumsy in the morning is what this research said. And the answer that the study gives is use a more melodic alarm, which provides for more alert mornings. Less impairment or desire to return to sleep. So there you go. How to wake up better in the morning. You heard it here first, maybe, unless you heard it on the project this week. But let's just hold that there. I'm going to return to this. And because I want to suggest a bit of a difference between the startling alarm and the melodic tune that I think TBC could potentially aim for. But to begin, I'm going to track through the first half of this letter, really, using part of the message kind of as the structure. I kind of looked at this and remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast, and repent. So I want to look at how we do those things and what it looks like. And then I want to bring it into perspective, again, with the passage. What does Christ say to those who remember, who hold it fast, and who repent? How can we do all that, and why should we even? And then if we can rest into the promise and the hope that we'll see at the end, if you want this to make a difference in our lives, what does it look like for us, TBC? All right, that's what we're aiming for. Hopefully we get there. Remember what you have received and heard. And you'll recall if you've been tracking through with us, and that's why we read Revelation, a key reason why we did last week. This is an oral culture. The book is about being read and heard aloud. And so much that is to do with the gospel, particularly at this time, is about receiving and hearing. This is how Christian communities were created, even. I was looking at, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, chapter 15, the gospel he preached to them, they have received and now stand on. They've received and heard. And in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, Paul thanks God that the message has been received, heard, accepted, and is now at work in those who believe. It's received and heard. Do you stand firmly on the gospel, like Paul just said to Corinth? Is the gospel at work in you, like he says to the church at Thessalonica? Because Sardis has this reputation of being alive, this external appearance that they're known for being alive. But Christ says they are dead. I had a bit of fun searching some images this week on alive and dead. And so I searched alive first, I think, and got these ones. That's now stopped working. It's alive. Lots of flowers came up. It's kind of alive, you know? Yeah. I like the little ladybug there. That was pretty cool. We're alive. I don't know what. I mean, yeah, I guess you feel alive. Good sunset. This one was quite intriguing. That came up under alive, which I thought was quite cool, actually. And then I searched dead, which, I mean, this is all for, you know, photography and stuff, but oh, I was so sad looking at that. What a waste. I killed Kath's plant, actually, in the office. Looks a bit like that. Cemetery. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's the reaction I had to this, actually. I was just sitting and looking at this. I had these all on the PowerPoint already. And yeah, it was quite confronting, actually. That's what Christ says to Sardis. you are dead. It gave me the chills when I looked at it. But what's actually being said here? So to be alive, this the Greek word here that's used, it's metaphor for being active or vibrant, right? Rather than dead, which is to be inactive spiritually, so to speak. Does that make sense? Kind of this active versus inactive. So if you have a reputation of being active, but you are inactive, well, be active, Christ is saying here. This dead, alive stuff. But because there's no, unlike some of the other churches, there's no specific sin mentioned here, just this metaphor of kind of life and death, active and inactive. And this dead is used elsewhere in Scripture to mean uncommitted. Jesus says to the man, it's in Matthew 8 and Luke 9, he says, let the dead bury their own dead, which is let the uncommitted bury the uncommitted. And therefore, alive brings the sense of commitment to Christ. So for Sardis, a level of complacency over time has led them being called out. You have a reputation, but you are dead. And you know, I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Rebecca about it. And you know, we live. I was just this kind of transition from being alive to being dead. Like we're thinking about a kind of like when we go swimming. We've all been at the beach, hopefully. Many of us have been at the beach if we're able. And you kind of, you know, you aim for those flags, but oh man, Piha! Who would swim at Piha? It's menacing out there. Well, two people, so well done. I mean, I was obviously there, but you're always getting pulled and dragged around, and it's that kind of, you know, you're having fun, and you're chatting, and you're diving beneath the waves, and you're getting smashed in the face by the waves, and it's all hilarious. And then kind of all of a sudden, you might realize that you've drifted out of the flags. You might not be able to touch the bottom, which for me is a major. I can't swim very well. Kind of in the danger zone, but you didn't notice because you were just doing what you were doing, maybe. And all of a sudden, you're way out here. That kind of gradual, we're in it, we're good. We're not good. Sardis, we're happy as Larry. Hopefully Larry's happy if he's here. Hanging out, they were hanging out with a good reputation. They didn't notice that their aliveness, their activeness, their commitment to Christ had drifted as they were doing what they were doing outside the flags. They were in the danger zone to the point of Christ calling them dead, uncommitted. And because of this, Sardis are told to strengthen what remains and is about to die. So when I was looking at this, it's like it's not a fine those of you who are still good, because the rest of you are rubbish, no good. But a kind of hurry up quick before you're completely dead, inactive. A call to remember. Remember, Sardis, what it is to live completely. Remember what the gospel being active looks like. Remember what standing firmly on the gospel looks like. Remember that the gospel, Jesus Christ, is at work in you. Remember that this life calls you to live differently. Out of love, Ephesus, in contrast, Smyrna, compromise, Pergamum, with behavior that reflects your faith, Thyatira. Wake up, TBC. remember the gospel. But remembering is not enough. What's next? Hold it fast in this translation. Obey kind of thing. This hold it fast comes, obedient, comes with a sense of proclaiming. To obey Christ is to proclaim Christ. It involves love and service, which we saw last week and we've seen in other churches. They were commended for it last week. But here Christ says, I know your deeds. And we've heard this before, but before it's been a comfort, this is the first time that Christ is kind of saying it. No. I know. This is less of a comfort and much more of this, Sardis going, we've been found out. We haven't even realized. We're not holding it fast. We're not proclaiming Christ as we should. Because Christ has found their deeds unfinished. And I was looking at this because it's a bit of a weird... Works are complete when done in full obedience to God's will. That's the kind of what's being put across here. Israel were complete when they were doing, when they were operating in full obedience to God's will and rejecting idol worship and other pagan practices. Deeds unfinished are deeds that are not complete, not living to the fullness of what we are called to. In Matthew 5, it talks about don't just love your neighbor. You know, some of you might know. Don't just love your neighbor, love your enemies. Even pagans, it says, even pagans treat those that are like them, same, treat them well. Even they do that. Go beyond that. Revelation is about complete faithfulness to God, Christ, and the Christian community, and beyond. None of us, I think, could claim that we're doing all that. It's a lot. And we'll get to the less than a lot. Not the less than a lot, but the good. Well, this is all good. But none of us are necessarily doing that day in, day out. We sin. We fall over. But the beauty is, I think the beauty is, there's more to it. And this is where the buzzword comes in. I've never talked about repentance so much in my life. Repent. Andy was telling me he used, I don't know how long ago, but Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. Turn around, bright eyes. Yeah, well, you don't want me to sing it. We've talked about repenting being a regular thing. Our sins are already forgiven. We have that assurance. But there is something really interesting here to learn about repentance. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. I was looking at this and I was like, Jesus comparing himself to a thief, it's not the kind of person that I would usually compare myself to too often. Pretty negative simile, really. But let me tell you how I look at this now. From Matthew 24 and Luke 12, if you wanted to look it up later, they have Jesus talk about the thief. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was going to come, they would have kept watch. If you knew that a thief was coming, you'd turn all the lights on, double-check the doors. I won't say whose house, but somebody's house I went round to recently, and they had the TV going full bore in the garage as a kind of burglar alarm. Like, you do stuff like that. Be prepared. If you knew, you'd have this degree of vigilance to keep the thief away. And so I want to propose here that this is a call to Christians to be vigilant. Keep the thief away in this sense. Not wait in anticipation of what you don't know, but be vigilant about living a life of repentance. We have to. We can't. We're not perfect. We're imperfect. We have to live lives of repentance, constantly turning around. Maybe not with bright eyes necessarily, but be vigilant about leading a life in complete faithfulness to God. Be vigilant about remembering the gospel, proclaiming Christ, and being active and alive. But I do get to this point in things and be like, how do we do that? That sounds too much for me. That sounds like perfection. And the irony is, at the end of the Matthew 5, which I read before, loving your enemies, others do it just like that, etc., it finishes with, be perfect. I was like, ooh, can't. I can't do that. But here's what I think can help. There are a few people. And my first question on this was a numbers game. How many is a few? Three, maybe, in our language. But I was like, how many? And why would you say that? Yet you have a few. And how does he even know that there's a few? The number is irrelevant. And I think to us in this, our kind of individualistic, in our society, we're all about the individual. That's where I naturally went. How many individuals are there? But this is to the church, not to the individuals, just the individuals in the church. This, and that to me is bringing the relief here. Not the hope, that'll come soon, but there's some relief here. We know from elsewhere that Jesus is worthy because of suffering. It says later in Revelation 5, you are worthy because you were slain. They walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. So it's not that these few people haven't suffered here. That's not what it's saying. Not that they're perfect or they've got perfect lives. To be worthy, you've been faithful, and the life of being faithful is hard. They are worthy not as a conclusion of what they have completed, but because they are currently walking in faithfulness to Christ. For some reason, I started thinking about Lord of the Rings here when I was trying to think of, explaining this. And I was like, well, old Samwise Gamgee, the real hero of the story, arguably. But if we couldn't see his devotion to Frodo, all that he suffered along the way, he'd be almost redundant. We'd certainly wouldn't relate to him. He'd just get to the end with Frodo, maybe. He'd be there, ring into Mordor, the end. We wouldn't have the association that we do. He wouldn't be worthy to us if that were the case. But we see his love, his care, his feeding of Frodo and giving water to Frodo, calling out Frodo's mistakes, being sent away in suffering because of calling out Frodo's mistakes. We see his watchfulness, his duty-bound faithfulness to Frodo. We see all this in the journey, not in the arrival or the conclusion. It's the journey, not the conclusion, that makes us worthy. those that are currently walking in faithfulness. And this is to the church, not to the individual. Everyone is included. All of Sardis. This is Christ showing the journey, not the conclusion. Remember, hold it fast, repent. And the best part, I think, is up there too. They will walk with me. Christ says, you are not alone. Be vigilantly faithful. Be vigilant about living a life of repentance. Be vigilant about leading a life in complete faithfulness to God. Be vigilant about remembering the gospel, proclaiming Christ and being active and alive. And as you walk with me, Christ says, I am with you. You are with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus for that. I can't do this alone. And why all this? You respond to what Christ has done and continues to do for you. All of you, every one of you, even if you've been a complete failure to this point, if right now you feel like a complete failure, if you feel dirty, unclean, Christ here says, if you are victorious in this, remembering, holding it fast, repenting, we all have time. You are in the book of life. And I was like, what's that? Well, I think it's quite cool. In Roman times, a citizen was born and within 40 days of their birth was to have their name written down so that they could receive benefits such as a fair trial, like we read Paul. Paul claims his fair trial. And they receive material help and whatnot. But in some cities, when someone was sentenced for a capital crime, so sentenced to death, their name was blotted out. I thought that was great. Revelation says, you, the faithful, may be cut off by your own people, but I, Jesus Christ, will never blot you out. I promise you life with me. Whoa. Is that awesome? I thought so. No matter where you are at, remember, hold it fast, and repent. This is the message for all. No circumstance that is sitting here now, or that you know of elsewhere in your friends and family, is excluded. None. You can do this, TBC, church, with Christ who promises to walk with you. The wake up with a shock or a melody, I want to suggest there's a bit of both here. I want to suggest that the kind of required shock is actually for us just the setting of the alarm. Making that choice, deciding to remember, hold fast, and repent. As a church, a community here at TBC, the alarm is the decision. Make one. Yes, as individuals too. But figure out what together, as TBC, you are about. And then figure out how you are going to be active, alive. Don't just rest on your laurels of your reputation, you know, up to this point? Yes, we have to look at our history and we have to be thankful for those that have gone before us for who we are today. But I think that's, if that's all we're doing, that's complacency. It's no place to forget our history. But just like we're to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember what you are here for. You as a church, you hear it every week. You're called in Christ to community, to the world, for God's glory. But don't let your reputation as a Baptist church in Titirangi say what you are about, because other people will have all sorts of ideas. Don't let the suburb define who you are. If you're just going to ride the coattails of being a Christian, that would be dead, inactive. If you don't wake up and get active, you are going to end up dead. TBC. Are you active? Not as individuals. I know there's the, but I do this and this. Yes, I agree. Prayer last week. We didn't have Thursday because of Waitangi Day. But prayer as a gathered community last week, minus the pastoral staff that were present, one person. Your prayer life as a gathered church is dead. Remember, hold it fast, repent. I'm not sure if you, one of my reflections with Andy of my time here has been just the incredible position that you guys are in. And I think it is almost this complacency. You don't know what an awesome leadership team you have, your staff team. I've had the privilege of working with them. You're leaders of all the different spaces, except for the creche at the moment. The youth and home groups. Incredible. Evergreens, Manly Music, Weekly Grind. I'm sure there's more that I don't know about. You're about to have a new building, a community centre that relies on your reputation to bring people in. All those things that I've just named, the ministries, they're within these walls, so to speak. Not these four ones, ironically, but you know what I mean. How does what you remember of the gospel, what you hold fast in your complete faithfulness to Christ, go beyond walls? Beyond with Christ with you, not alone. Vigilantly faithful. Vigilant about leading a life of repentance. Vigilant about leading a life in complete faithfulness to God. Remembering the gospel, proclaiming Christ and being active and alive. I want to see. I said the bittersweet of finishing up here. The bitter is, I would love to continue. I feel like I've said three or four times to Andy, I'm like, hey Andy, I don't want to be a broken record. Don't want to flog a dead horse, but got anything for me? I want to see a TBC that is vigilantly faithful so that when people come into contact with you, they aren't startled by what they see. They don't turn around. They don't feel shunned. But because you are so alive and active, you're not like that kind of thing that will go away. But are a sweet, sweet melody, TBC, that sings from this place. A melody that will not startle, will not cause anybody to turn from you. But with the momentum that carries you of your activeness, aliveness, that it would spread, reverberate, if that's the right word, through this place, Titirangi, into the world for His glory. How can we do this? Well, here's a starter. Get amongst what is happening with the crossing. You've got two prayer meetings a week. Half an hour. Gather together. Bring your gathered prayer as a church alive. You've got these prayer nights coming up, specific. I think there's four over the year. The first one is on March the 6th, 6 to 9 p.m. Get amongst it. You've got a discernment hui, March 7th. Figuring stuff out about where you're going as a church. Place to all speak together. Have your say. But if you want to, decide to set that alarm. Decide that you're going to be alive and active. Come alive, TBC. Wake up. Be vigilantly faithful. Get amongst it. Be vigilant about living a life of repentance. Set that alarm. Choose to live into this life of being active. Remember the gospel, hold it fast, and proclaim and be committed to Christ. Be active and alive as you live to repent constantly, because we have to, and follow Christ. And as you do, know that He is with you.